Jim Elliott and four other missionaries, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udarian, were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. The shocking news of the deadly attack spread around the world. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years, helping them learn about the love and forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey. Thanks for joining us for Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about what it means to live a life worthy of the Lord. Another translation of that verse in Colossians 1:10 says, unto all meeting of His wishes. To live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in every way, is translated, unto all meeting of His wishes. In other words, His lightest wish becomes my command. That's really what I want to do. I'm not wanting to say, well, Lord, how little can I give, or can I get away with this, or would you mind too much? But, Lord, what would please you the most? Which choice here, when I come to a crossroads, which would please you the most? Scripture tells us that the first three fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, and peace. If God is looking for fruit in our lives, He's looking for love, joy, peace, and all the things that follow. Love really embraces all the rest of them. But those are the things that will please Him, and they are the three powers that transform the world. Look around at your friends. How many do you know of whom you would say love is the primary qualification or the primary characteristic of that person? How many people do you know about whom the word joy would spring to your mind? How many peaceful people do you know? Those three things, love, joy, and peace, are the least possible for us to fake or drum up. They are supernatural gifts. And they're gifts for those who are willing to be taught, shaped, refined, and even, yes, even pounded into shape. Sometimes God has to do that to me. Pound me into shape in order that I may grow in the knowledge of God. How else am I going to live a life worthy of God without being willing to be pounded into shape by God Himself? Everything that happens is divinely appointed to give you this opportunity, that you may know Him. What's life all about? Simple definition, to know God, that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. That was Paul's ambition. That's my ambition. I hope it's yours. But where and how shall we get to know Him? The answer to the where is right here, where we are. Everything that happens is divinely appointed to give us the opportunity to know Him. We were talking last week about the story where the disciples were toiling and rowing in a storm on the lake, and Jesus had been up in the mountain praying, and finally He showed up, came to them walking across the water, and rescued them. We can never forecast the path that God's energy of rescue will take, says one writer. It's never any use saying to Him, I'm getting desperate. Please answer my prayer by the next mail, and please send me a check. He will answer, but not necessarily like that. More probably, He will transform and use the unlikely-looking material already at hand, the loaves and the tiny fishes, looking up to heaven and blessing it and making it do, after all. A priest was once asked if many miracles happened at Lourdes. He said, yes, many. But the greatest are not miracles of healing, but the spiritual miracles. The transformation of those who pray desperately for cure of this or that and come back not physically cured, but filled with peace and joy, surrendered to the will of God, conformed to the cross. We need to be taught in the stress and conflict, in the tight places, to look for and to expect God to act, seldom as we envisioned, but always intervening in the real interest of our souls, the souls he loves. Is that hard? If so, let's remember that it's for our salvation. He never said it would be easy. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but cheer up, I have overcome the world. It was hard for Jesus, too, even though he had great support. Not very long ago, my friend Arlita Winston, whose name is familiar to many of you because you've heard Arlita on my programs, she told me that her son Sam had been greatly helped by, I'm not sure whether it was the radio programs or the books, of Chuck Swindoll. And once again, I thank the Lord for the influence of Jim Elliot, my husband Jim, who was one of five men who were killed in Ecuador in 1956 by a group of savage Indians who thought that the missionaries were cannibals. Now, what does Jim Elliot have to do with Chuck Swindoll and Arlita's son, Sam Winston? Well, quite a bit, actually, because Chuck Swindoll has told many times on his radio program how his life as a young Marine standing at a crossroads was shaped and directed by the story of those five men. The mysterious workings of a wonderful providence. Do you suppose that we five wives prayed for physical safety for our husbands when they went into the territory of people who were known to be killers? Of course we did. We prayed specifically and very earnestly for their physical safety. And what happened? They were speared to death. We were faced with tragedy, bewilderment, and bereavement. But if it hadn't been for that, what route would that young Marine named Chuck Swindoll have taken? You see, God has a lot of things and a lot of people and a lot of events in mind beyond our wildest imaginings. He is arranging a universe. He is working on a pattern for good that is spoken of in Romans 8, 28 and 29. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to them that love God. Do we have any idea how much may hang on our present experience of distress? God has a perfect idea of it. Measured, planned, apportioned, timed, and totally held in those everlasting arms. He never lets go. He never gives up. He is never in despair. In fact, he's never the least bit worried. Not the least bit worried, no matter how abandoned we feel. Held in the everlasting arms. Just this past week, I had a very disturbing experience. And it was that very morning that I read in Psalm 93, "The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved." I really felt as though my world was slipping a little bit. "Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity," the psalmist says of God. But then the psalmist says, "The seas have lifted up, O Lord, the seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves." And then the word of peace comes to him, "Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord." No matter how desperate we feel, His throne was established long ago. He is from all eternity. His voice is mightier than the waves of the sea. The power of God and its pressure and action is continuous in and through the whole texture of my life. It's seldom seen at the time, isn't it? Often, while flying, I look at those tiny houses below. I look how neat everything looks. I can't see the garbage and the unmowed lawn. Things look neat, but insignificant. And yet, I think how the same everlasting arms that are holding that plane up in the air has seen and known and held everything that happens. You remember the time when the disciples said to Jesus, "Where shall we go to prepare the place for your supper?" And he said, "Go to such and such a place, you'll find a man with a water pitcher." And the man with the water pitcher was there. He didn't know that God had arranged for him to be there. He was just going to get water. You remember when Kish's donkeys were lost? It was because of that that a king was crowned. It was because Lars Grin could not move into the room that he had engaged when he wanted to move in, that he came looking for another room. He found a room in my house. He was a lodger there as a seminary student, along with another lodger. I took in two seminary students, and the first one married my daughter, and the second one married me. Could I have imagined that, after my second husband died, that God would give me a third husband, and in such an incredible way? The more we believe in God's love and faithfulness, the more worthily we'll live, and the more we'll be pleasing to Him. That's what it means to live a life worthy of the Lord.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.